O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile, until the Son of God
Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this season of Advent. I love Christmas time. How about you all? Yes, yes. I love the music. I start listening to it a little bit before, I think, the time. I guess it's after Thanksgiving we're allowed to, but some of us cheat a little bit. But we're going to sing some Christmas music this morning, and we're going to start off with Joy to the World. As Joe brings the lights up, we're going to sing Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for the curse is found. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of light. Angels lifting praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, son of God. Voices joined in joyful chorus praise you for your gift of love. And all your works declare your glory, all creation join to sing. Praise resound, rejoices the Christ the King. Shepherds kneel before the infant, trumpets sound and anthems raise, as with joy our hearts are lifted, joined in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. Thank you for your good singing this morning.
Amen. Good morning. That was great singing. My goodness, can you believe it's December already? Wow, I said to somebody maybe in the prayer circle, can you believe that we're already in December and this month is going to fly by? Get ready, man. You better get a seatbelt on somewhere. This month is going to fly by. But this is probably my favorite month of the year because we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. I want to take a moment today just to acknowledge and welcome anyone who may be visiting with us, first time new friend with us at Nettles Island Church. And we have a little program that we go through. We have this little promise, Bible promise book. It's got the promises of God's Word in it, fingertip touch. You can find them very easily. And this is something that we give to each family that comes and joins us on their very first Sunday here. And at the end of the service today, I will be at the back at the information desk, back right corner. When you're looking to the back right corner, I'll be there after service. If this is your first time, come by and say hello, shake my hand. And let me introduce myself to you properly and receive one of our little promise book gifts. We just love to present that to you. And if you're here today first time, thank you so much for joining us. And we are just glad you're here. Feel at home. Feel like family. We are a family church that loves each other. And we just are so delighted. Good to see those of you that are still gathering, coming from the cold north. Last week we had a whole slew come on in, and they brought some of the cold weather we had this week. So thank you for that. It was nice to cool down a little bit. It needs to stop. It doesn't need to get any colder. It's good enough. And so thank you for that. Couple of announcements, and I'm not going to go through them all. They're in your bulletin, but I just want to highlight today that the Nettles Island Church Directory, really look that over and follow through that. And if you have not had your picture taken, Tammy is working to make that happen for you. We really want everybody's picture that attends Nettles Island in our directory. You don't have to be a member of the church. This could be your first Sunday, and if you think, hey, this is a cool church, I want my picture there, come on, have your picture made. You can talk to Tammy. She's right up front here waving her hand. She runs our computer for us, and she'll be available after church. And if you haven't gotten your app on your phone or your computer, she can help you to do that if you need help with that as well. It's also great today. I'm technically on vacation. I had a week's vacation left. I took it with having all the kids come in, and that's why my brother Bill Volpe, Pastor Bill, is going to be preaching the word today. But I still wanted to come to the best church in all the world. So I came today to be here and just be a part of you. And so I want to welcome Bill and Paula, my brother and my sister-in-law. They're here today. Bill will be bringing the word in just a little bit in the service today. Excited about that. And it's good to have our kids with us today. We've got Ashley and Johan from Athens, Georgia. And we've got Austin and Caitlin and little baby Nora, our first grandbaby from Little Rock, Arkansas, with us today. We welcome you as family today. We've had them all week. It's been a delight having them for Thanksgiving. And hate to see the week kind of come to an end and everybody start to scatter for home. But you know how that is. Some of you have been in the same situation this week. Amen. That's it for the announcements today. I think just check the bulletin on all the other ones, and those that are important to you would apply. One more thing. I made a note to myself, was reminded of it this morning. One of the things that would be good for us as a congregation to do is today is December 1st. If we start today, sometime today, and open the Bible to the Gospel of Luke, and start with a Christmas story, and we take one chapter a day for the next 24 days, right up to Christmas Eve, we'll finish the book of Luke, and we'll get right through the Christmas story and the life of Christ, and that would be something good. So encourage yourself today. Maybe if you've got your spouse here, do that together. Just take turns reading a verse, or whoever likes to read, and just join together one verse or one chapter a day starting today, and you'll finish Luke on Christmas Eve when we come together for our Christmas Eve service. All right, so God bless all of you. We're going to come back to some more congregational worship and some special music today. Amen. Glad you're all here.
Amen. If you're able, will you stand as we sing, How Great is Our God? The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God? And you're the name above all names, and you are worthy of our praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. And sing with me, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Let's sing it again this morning. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God. And all will see, how great is our God. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Now just the voices this morning, I know the words aren't up there, but I just want to hear you sing that out. I know every one of you know that. Sing how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. Amen. Please take a seat. Amen. Give yourself a round of applause. That was beautiful this morning. Amen. Well, we are blessed with a couple specials this morning. And as Al makes his way up here, this is a newer song that just really speaks to me. And it's just entitled, Holy Forever, A Thousand Generations Falling Down to Worship to Sing the God of Angels. Thank you.
A thousand generations falling down to worship, to sing the song of ages to the land. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands before them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands before them all, and the angels cry, holy. All creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the land. If you walk in freedom, if you bear his name, sing the song forever to the land. And we'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And your people sing, the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions,
all powers
and positions, your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all
thrones
and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all,
and the angels cry, holy,
all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever.
Hear your people sing,
holy, to the King of Kings, holy,
you will always be.
Amen. Thank you, Al and Steve. What a good reminder today of why we're here. To exalt the King. To lift up the name that is above every name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's coming a day, friends. You and I have the privilege today to bow our knee, to bow the knee of our heart, really, in this praise and worship season of the day, and to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is the moment that we bring our prayer requests to the Lord. And as we've been doing, I'm just going to ask you today, some of you have come in with a burden on your heart. I try to remind us whenever I think about it that when we walk through the door, it's a good thing when we first get here. If you get here a half an hour early, even right on time when we're ready to start, you come in with a burden, drop the burden at the door. Let your focus change from, man, I've had such a tough week, or I've had this great problem that cropped up this week, to where you go, but I'm in the house of God, and God is here to meet with me. And His name is higher. His name is greater. He stands above them all. He stands above every problem that we have. Not one thing going on in your life is too big for God or too great for God to do today. I want you to know that. He's on His throne. He's almighty. He's the great God, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, and He's our great shepherd. So how many of you would say today, you know, Pastor, I'm going to stand with what you're saying. I'm going to trust God today, but I came with a burden. I came with a need. Just hold your hand up. God sees it. It's just, this is to say to God, God, here's my need. Here's my need. I dropped it at the door, but here it is, and I'm going to present it to you. We're praying for a couple of Steve's kids today, for little Rowan and little Remy, the littlest ones in the family. Have had some real health concerns and health issues, and they're on our bulletin today. So we're going to pray for them, and Ellie Johnson has asked us to continue to pray for her. And then we have all the other names that are here. And just because we've highlighted the new name, that's just to let you know that's the new name. It's not more important. They're all equally important. And God loves every one of these people exactly the same. He cares about their need in their heart today. He cares about the hand that was raised this morning. So would you join me in prayer? Would you put your faith together with mine this morning? I love the scripture that says if two will agree on touching any one thing, it shall be done. Now, we don't know what all the needs in the bulletin are, and we don't know what all your hands represent today, but God does, and we're coming together in faith to believe that this week God is going to begin to do something big and great in your life. Will you trust Him today? Let's pray. Father, we just bow our hearts. We love You so much. We're thankful today for the privilege of coming together as a congregation here on Nettles Island. Thank You, Lord, that You have been with us. We just came through Thanksgiving, and God, we just, I'm sure on Thanksgiving Day, sat and talked about things we were thankful for. We thought about them. But God, You are eternally God. You are eternally amazing. And when we get to heaven, we're going to give praise and thanks forever. But we can start today. Thank You for being our God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for coming to dwell within us and to seal us with salvation's mark, the love of God. And so, Lord, today we just lift up the burdens of this congregation. You saw every hand that was raised. God, You are not one that's out there and not compassionate, but You're a very compassionate God, and You care about every need and every situation. So, Father, I'm asking, and we're agreeing together as Your people right now for every burden, every need, God, that this would be the day, this would be the week, that there would be a breakthrough for those in our congregation, those that are listed on this bulletin today. God, in the name of Jesus, and by Your stripes, healing comes. We believe for that today. We believe for the salvation of our loved ones. We believe today, Lord, for the financial blessings that need to come out of heaven and into our lives. We believe today for peace. We believe today for joy and for hope. And Lord, where maybe our hearts have been just discouraged, Father, that You would lift us up, that in this service, that there would be something that is said in song or in message or word or scripture today that will transform our thinking and transform our lives. Father, we just offer who we are and what we are and everything to you today. And we thank you so much that your precious blood cleanses us from all of our sins. We thank you, too, that as we enter into December, that we are moving toward the end of the month when we celebrate your birth. Thank you, Jesus, that you left heaven's splendor and you came to this earth as a baby. You lived, you walked among the people, you lived a holy, pure, righteous life, and you went to the cross for us. We're so grateful today. We love you so much. Give you all the praise. Amen. Amen.
What a beautiful Sunday morning to just share Jesus' love and just to know that he was born to die for us. Shepherds gaze in wonder while angel voices sing. This night of night has come and brought the world the long-awaited King. The earth was full of gladness, and yet the heavens weep. For heaven's eyes can see he was born to die for me. Jesus, baby Jesus, is that a tear in your eye? Jesus, baby Jesus, you must know you were born to die. It must have broken God's heart, for the future he could see. But he formed the hands and feet, knowing one day they'd be nailed to a tree. So all the world could know him, a gift from up above. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus, baby Jesus, is that a tear in your eye? Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, you must know you were born to die. So Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for your gift of eternal life. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, 'cause for me, he was born to die. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank you, Jesus.
Good job. Nice job. All right, how's everybody today? Yes, 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 yes. It's wonderful to be here as always. And especially great to see some of my family that I haven't seen in a while and all of you again. Great. Praise God. Today, we're going to continue the Ephesians series that Pastor Rob has been sharing, a love that surpasses knowledge. And the core verse of the series is Ephesians 3:19. It says, "To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And today, the passage that we're going to be looking at together is Ephesians 4:17 through 5:2. And Paul, in the first three chapters of this letter, is retelling the story of what happened in Jesus about God's decision regarding screwed up, sinful, self-focused human beings to permanently commit himself to love us, to bind himself to us by becoming human himself, by creating a new reconciled family of Jesus people out of Jew and non-Jew, and where he takes up personal residence by means of his Holy Spirit. And in this part of the letter, Paul is immersing these new Christians in their born-again identity, their new born-again identity in his family as his children. You used to be whoever you were before you heard the story about Jesus, but if you've put your trust in Jesus and have become part of his people and have placed your faith in him, you're a new kind of human. In these later chapters, we learn about what it looks like to flesh out this new kind of humanity, a born-again person with a new identity in Christ Jesus. Much of what I'm going to share with you today, I owe to a teaching I heard by a seminary teacher named Tim Mackey. All right, so let's dive in here. Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul says, "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you," and again, he's writing to these Christians who are living in the region of Ephesus. He says that you all must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We're going to live a life worthy of this calling that we've received about the good news of Jesus. I insist on it, Paul says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, Gentile is an ethnic category. It just means non-Jewish person. Specifically, it's a word that originated in the Jewish communities to refer to people who are not us. So there are Jewish people, and then there are non-Jewish people, Gentiles. So it's a way to refer to every ethnic group that is not Jewish. In other words, most of humanity. So he says, don't live as the Gentiles do. But who's Paul writing to? In chapter 3, verse 1, "For this reason," he says, "I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles." And then look back further, chapter 2, 11, he says, "Therefore remember that you all formerly who are," what does he say? "Gentiles by birth." You're not Jewish by ethnicity. But then all of a sudden in chapter 4, he writes, "Don't live like the Gentiles anymore." You're thinking, "I am one." It would be like Paul writing a letter to the Americans, living in America, and saying, don't live like the Americans anymore. Well, I do live in America. So what do you mean? And Ephesians would say, Paul, I am a Gentile. What do you mean? You're talking about the Gentiles as if they are somebody other than me. And Paul would say, exactly. So yes, of course, technically you are Gentiles by birth and ethnicity, but Paul's saying everything of what chapter 1 through 3 was about is that your identity is no longer, if you're a Christian, your identity is no longer primarily your ethnic or nationality background. That's not who you are anymore. Your primary identity is some other category. And so for Paul, no, you're not Jewish, but you're not a Gentile anymore. You're something else. And that something else, in just a few sentences, he's just going to call it the new humanity. You're a part of this new humanity, begun with the new human. And that is Jesus, who lived and died and was raised for us. Right from the first sentences, he's challenging their sense of identity. And Paul's core conviction is that fundamental change happens to us when our very sense of who we are is completely revolutionized by the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection life within us. Behavior follows our sense of identity. Who we believe we are is going to determine the way we live our lives and what we do. And that's what Paul is doing right here. And he says, I insist on it. Don't live like the Gentiles. What do you mean? I'm not a Gentile? No, you're not. You're something new. And he says, so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Verse 9, he's describing, or verse 19, he's describing the story of someone who's become calloused morally. And Paul says it starts in your mind. It starts in your thinking, in your mindset. And people form these calluses in different ways. And Paul says it begins with your thinking. It begins by mistaking yourself for God. Defining right and wrong for yourself without considering God, without considering others. Look at verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. When you hear the story about Jesus, the good news, we call it the good news, about Jesus and His life, and His death, and His resurrection for you. It's this truth that invades your reality. Whatever your reality is, when you hear the good news, it invades your reality. And you have this mindset, this view of the world that you're just fine, king of my own domain. And then the gospel comes along and says, dude, you are so screwed up. And the gospel is kind of bad news before it's good news, because it exposes us for who we are apart from God, filled with self and greed and sin. That's not good news to hear about ourselves, is it? But at the same time, the gospel does this flip on us. It says, even though we come under judgment and all this rottenness is exposed within us, it declares about us this incredible decision that of God to love us to absolutely love us and commit himself to us in spite of our deep flaws and failures and brokenness. And so he says, you heard this truth about Jesus. You were taught to think through the implications of the good news about Jesus, and it opened up a completely different way of living. Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, that is your former identity. You were taught three things: to put off or take off your old self. Just like taking off a jacket or taking off a garment, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. Now, desire in itself isn't bad. There's nothing wrong with having desires. We all have desires. But desires can deceive. And they deceive when desires become ends in themselves. When the need or the desire for money becomes the love of money, becomes an idol. Or the desire for relationship ends up in having action outside of marriage that isn't pleasing to God. It's an end in itself. Or the desire for status to be someone that is known, we put that in front of everything else, and we become a person who just lives to have status and the right car and the right job and the right house at the right place so that everyone knows our name and knows who we are. So desires can deceive. And then he says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. So we take off our old self and we're made new in the attitude of our minds. Outward change begins with a change in thinking. Nobody ever changes the way they act before they change the way they think. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And 30 says to put on the new self. So put on a new jacket, a new garment. A different one, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, Adam and Eve, they were the first humans. And God placed them in the Garden of Eden that represents his temple, his being with man there in the garden. And they were created, the Bible says, in God's image. And their job was to bear the image of God, his likeness, in the world. But we all know what happened. They sinned. They ate of the tree that they weren't allowed to eat from. And it began what we, a corruption. It began sin throughout the world and throughout all of history. And so now we are broken people that need healing and need redemption. And Paul says here, now that you know Christ, put on the new self, created to be like God, to be his image bearers in the world, like Adam and Eve were called to be. Well, you and I both know this is easier said than done to do all this. And it has to come from outside of ourselves. Something other than just my ability or willpower to become a good person. And the good news is God's commitment to screwed up people like us is so permanent and so motivated by his love and care that he came among us as Jesus, as the kind of human being he calls us to be, but we perpetually failed to be. And on the cross, Jesus absorbs into himself the collective results of our old humanity, the train wreck of our lives and of human history, the guilt and the sin and the pain. He takes it all on the cross to its bitter end, to death. But because His love and His grace and His mercy towards people like you and me is so permanent, it's so committed to us, He raised Jesus from the dead, showing that our sin, that our guilt, and even death itself that's been created in our world does not have power over His love and grace for us. Are you thankful for that? The resurrection of Jesus means that your sin doesn't get the last word. Hallelujah. It means that your old humanity that you thought is just doing you in, that it's just going to sink your life, that God's power, His resurrection power through Jesus to address you in your sin, to love you, to forgive you, and to remake your mind is real. And we are a community of people that are discovering that and experience that and trying to understand what it means to live a life worthy of the calling that we received, and that this remaking, that's this remaking of our minds. Now, you don't do that in a day. It's a journey of faith. You're letting your mind and your pattern of thinking, your sense of identity be reshaped by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put it on. And what is this new humanity? It's the version of you that's created to perfectly reflect the image of God. It's the version of you that's meant to be an accurate reflection of God's holiness and His righteousness and His goodness and His character. And Jesus partners with us in reshaping our character. So look at verse 25. He says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." So Paul addresses this old humanity practice of lying and counters it with the new humanity practice of truth-telling. And again, just think it through. Let your minds be made new about what's happening when I lie. What am I doing when I lie? I'm projecting a false version of myself, somebody that I'm not. I'm projecting a false identity. Paul says, no, you have a new identity now. You don't lie anymore. You tell the truth. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. You see, we have a choice in that moment of anger, because our anger is just energy aroused to protect something, usually yourself, but it's not always bad. Anger might be energy that gets stirred up to protect another person even. And that's a really good thing. That's a positive thing. And so the question is, what do you do with this emotional energy in the new humanity? You use it to go address the person and the situation and the relationship, and you talk it out. You talk it out and you work toward forgiveness. You don't let the sun set on anger and let it brood and let it create something and let the devil have his foot in the door so that he can cause disunity. Because evil spiritual powers can begin to create rifts in the community of God's family. In the new humanity, we move towards conflict resolution. It says, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but needs to get to work doing something useful with their own hands so that they can have something to share with those in need. And so the old humanity that I've taken off puts myself at the center and will do whatever it takes to satisfy my wants and my needs. But the new humanity recognizes that Jesus is at the center of my life. And then right close to Him are other people. I think the main difference between a person who's not a believer, who's still outside of Christ and the good news of the gospel, and a person who is a believer is who is at the center of their life. Before we become a Christian, we are the center of our world. Everything orbits around us. But once we become a Christian, Jesus becomes the center of our world. And we allow Him to be the one that we please, because we learn that when we please Him, we ourselves benefit from that. And we ourselves become the person we were born to be. And we ourselves receive all the blessings of His kingdom that are meant for His children. And all those things that we thought we needed and we chased after, and all those desires that deceived us, we understand that those are a dead end. But in Christ, we find that our desires are fulfilled with His purpose and His meaning and His love and His joy and His peace and all the good things that His death, burial, and resurrection bring to us. So that's our mode of living: love God and love other people. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is pretty easy, isn't it? Sometimes I think I should just tape my mouth shut. Don't talk in ways that introduce rot into other people's lives. Whatever you say to other people, have it be something so that they walk away feeling like they've been given a gift after being with you. Each word a gift. I try to remind myself of that little saying, each word a gift, when I talk to somebody. Get rid of bitterness and rage. These intense negative emotions that burst out into what? Into anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That's your old humanity. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. How did Christ forgive you? How did Christ forgive you? That's a good question. Paula and I were just talking about forgiveness yesterday. I said, wouldn't it be great if, when we realized we were wrong and we went to somebody and we said, would you please forgive me? If it would just be done in an instant, that they didn't have to rake you through the coals for a while, or give you the silent treatment for a while, or make you earn that forgiveness, right? That's how Jesus forgave me. He forgave me in an instant. He didn't drag me through the coals. He didn't beat me up. He didn't beat me down. When I said, Jesus, forgive me, it was done, because He already took all of that pain in Himself for me. So we forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, at the end of this barrage of moral commands, it's very easy to feel guilty or hopeless. It's very easy to think, oh man, my new identity, I don't know how I'm doing with that. But look at the first sentences of chapter 5. Paul says, follow God's example or become imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Did you catch the repeated words here? Three times, what word did you hear in those verses? Three times the word love. You see, love is the basic core ethic of a community of Jesus. This community right here, love is the basic core ethic that binds us all together. And Paul doesn't appeal to a principle or some abstract ideal. He appeals to a story. He appeals to the story of the cross, Jesus' life and His death. And he calls that story an act of love. And this is a part of the way that the New Testament completely redefines our concept of love. This is one area where our minds need to be made new about love, because in the New Testament, the word love, it's the word agape. And we think of love in English as an emotion, a feeling, goosebumps or whatever. In the scriptures, love refers to an action. It refers to acting for the well-being of another person, regardless of how they respond to me. And Paul says this is the basic core ethic of the new humanity here. It's the agape love. He says, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So we run every decision. We run every word that we speak. We run every way that we relate to somebody. We run every conflict that we're in and how we're going to resolve that conflict. We run it all through this story of love. How do I love this person in this circumstance as an expression of my identity, of being a new kind of human? And notice he says, what's the core motivation for loving? He says, because you yourselves are loved. You are loved. So walk in the way of love. 2,000 years ago, Jesus did something that was the ultimate act of love for you. And for the rest of your life, you can point to that and you can say, that was for me. That was for me. And that act was an act of God seeking my well-being before I ever existed, before I ever rejected him, before or knew about him in the first place. He decided to commit himself to love me through Jesus' action on the cross. And that's the defining story of this new humanity, of being this new human. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you may not feel like it. You may not have lived like it in this last week. But you're a new human because of what Jesus did for you in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. You don't have to live like that anymore. You're actually living out of sync with your true identity as one who has been loved and forgiven by Jesus. And there might be some here who wouldn't self-identify as Christians, or you're just trying to figure out what it even means in the first place. It's this very simple, beautiful statement of what Paul is saying. Would you allow Jesus to become for you what you could never become for yourself? Which first means that you have to acknowledge the mess and the selfishness that's inside of you, the brokenness, and let that die with him on the cross. Whatever a new, healed, self-giving, love version of you is going to come out the other side, it will simply be an act of his grace and his love at work in your life. Are you willing to turn to Jesus in faith and let him begin to make you into a new kind of human? Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Every sermon that's preached is an opportunity for each one of us to acknowledge areas in our lives where we need to lean further into our new identity in Christ if we're a Christian, or for someone who's doesn't identify as a Christian, today's an opportunity for you to say, hey, I've tried this on my own long enough. I've tried with willpower, with mind games, with trying to be somebody that I'm not able to be. And I realize I need to allow my old self to die, to be put on the cross and nailed to the cross with Jesus. And I need to receive his resurrection power and come alive, a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus, with a new identity, so that I can live a meaningful and purposeful life that God created me to have and to live. This morning, I want to just ask if you are that person and you want to receive Jesus' life today. You want forgiveness for your sins and a new spirit and a new life and a new identity in Christ. I just ask you, without any fanfare, just look up at me. Just look up at me. Just look up. Yes. 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 God is good. God is good. How many of you would raise a hand and say, you know, I'm not always perfect, but I'm thankful Jesus is in my life and He's working in me and I'm letting Him work in me every day. You say that today. Thank God. We all need more of Him to work in more of us. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is life-changing. I thank You, Jesus, for every beautiful person in this room today You brought here for this moment. And God, You know even better than me those that heard this word and they said, yeah, this is what I need. I need to start anew today, a new life with Jesus. He died for me. He was buried. And 3 days later, God raised Him up so that we could have resurrection life with Him and eternal life. And I pray, Lord, as they acknowledge this, that their sins be wiped away clean, forgiven, the guilt, the rottenness, the self-destruction, all gone here in an instant. Forgiveness, new life, new identity. Hallelujah. And God, they'll walk away from this place a brand new person. The Bible says, he who has the Son of God has life. He who doesn't have the Son does not have life. And today, these beautiful new Christians walk out of here with eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit move upon them now and begin to speak to them and to mold them and shape them and allow them to take Your Word and begin to digest it. And let the Word of God remake and renew their thinking so that they can be pleasing to You and begin to live this new life in this community of Jesus followers that Paul talks about in Ephesians. All one family, united together. And Lord, for all of us, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, in the areas where we fall short. Help us, Lord Jesus, to continue to receive Your grace and mercy every day and to walk, Lord, in the new identity as the new humans that we are. In Jesus' name, we give You glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Stand with me as we sing the Lord's Prayer in closing this morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine
is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.